Welcome, everyone. It's a Friday afternoon. Just a little reminder, God is spreading in your being. Let's sing it again.
God is spreading in my being.
As the Spirit.
As the Spirit filling me.
From my spirit.
From my spirit.
To my soul.
And the God of peace himself, and then move on to the second verse, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. And we'll have the sisters start on, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, and then go back up to, and the God of peace himself.
Okay.
Got that? So let's all start all together on God is spreading in my being. Brothers, we'll sing it in order.
Brothers can follow me and Ram.
And sisters will follow Ashlyn, and they'll sing, may your spirit, and then back up to, the God of peace himself.
And if you don't know what you're doing, that's okay. Just sing whatever you'd like. No problem. God will still spread in your being. Wonderful.
God is spreading in my being. As the Spirit is filling me. From my spirit to my soul, to my body.
Brothers, one.
And God of peace
more time. Nice and slow. We can enjoy the Lord's slow spreading.
God is spreading in my being as the Spirit filling
Dennis.
From my spirit to my soul to my body, I am holy, sanctified in Christ's breath.
God is spreading
in my being.
Filling!
As the Spirit
filling!
From my spirit
to my soul, to my body, I am holy, sanctified in Christ Jesus. Complete.
Alright, let's unmute everyone and let's just declare filling! Filling!
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we can move on to the next song, which is God has called us for his purpose. Wow. The Lord is carrying out his purpose by filling us, by spreading in us. Okay, let's see. I think the brothers pulled it up. Oh, man, clear controlling vision. Wonderful.
God has called us for his purpose, his economy so glorious, for which he was fully promised. Consummated now is he, as the Spirit he indwells us, as our God alone.
Working out
his full salvation, making us the same as he is.
Oh,
make a clear controlling vision of the Lord's economy. Direct my heart,
burn in me
until my spirit's wholly set afire. With spirit strong and active, will
press on,
consummate.
Amen.
God and man will have one living.
Oh, time. When we get to the hallelujahs, you have to come in close to your camera. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Oh, may a clear controlling vision of the Lord's economy direct my heart and burn in me until my spirit is cold. Set a fire with spirit strong and active will the sun to consummate the whole New Jerusalem.
Oh,
hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen!
Hallelujah! Amen!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Amen!
Okay, let's unmute everyone. Let's sing the chorus one more time, everybody. A wonderful, joyful noise. And come forward on the hallelujahs.
Oh, may a clear controlling vision of the Lord's economy direct my heart.
Your heart burning you. Holy, set a fire.
Amen.
Okay, Marvin,
amen.
Over to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Saints, welcome. I mean, this has been incredible. Totally enjoyed the sharing. Can you guys hear me? No? Uh-oh.
Yes.
Well, your volume's a little low, that's all.
Okay. How's this? Is this better?
A little better.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Sounds like God is spreading in your being, Marvin.
Hallelujah. Amen. God is spreading. Saints, welcome. We're so happy to have all of you join us again. You know, we're just enjoying these songs, enjoying the flow. I don't even want to stop it by saying too much. So, Saints, just open up your being. Thank you, Romeros, for leading this singing time. And so we're going to kick it back to them and just make sure all of us exercise, even though we're in our rooms, we've been doing this all week, we'll just exercise
right
and enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. We move on to this a mystery called Christ in You. Awesome song.
Oh, what a mystery, Christ in You. Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ in me.
Produce yourselves. Produce yourselves. Or do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? I am crucified with Christ, and no longer I who live, but it is. Okay, we'll sing it in a round. The brothers will follow Ryan and I. We'll sing the first stanza all together, and then we will continue. Okay, brothers, y'all got this. Christ is in you. We'll just go right through it. Simple. The sisters will follow Ashton, and you guys will start. Where should they start?
We'll sing the first verse twice.
Okay.
And then we'll just follow one verse after the brothers.
That's right. And if you're not sure what to sing, you can actually sing any of them all at the same time, so it all works out well. Okay.
The first verse is Christ in you, right?
Christ in you.
Yeah. No, we'll sing Oh What a Mystery twice.
You'll sing Oh What a Mystery twice.
Yes.
Okay, we will provide guidance as we sing.
Oh, what a mystery.
All together,
Christ,
all together.
Christ in me. Oh, what a victory. Christ in you. Christ
for
in
sisters
me.
Of me.
Oh,
Christ in brothers.
Christ in you.
Declare Christ in me.
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 Christ in
me.
Christ in me.
So we'll continue on with the next. Christ in us is becoming nearer and more precious every day. Okay, this one's a little slower, so let's make it our prayer to the Lord. Okay. And become reality.
Nearer each day to me. Nearer each day.
Saving me,
loving me, faith and no hope at all. I hear him say to me, trust in me and you'll see that I'll supply all your needs if only you will believe. All anxious doubts will cease while trusting in me, trusting in me.
Amen. Why don't we just take 15 seconds right where we are and just pray some of these lines back to the Lord. Doesn't have to be, it can be any ones you want. Just take 15 seconds. It can all be muted. We can all just be muted. Just between us and the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Person. Amen. Becoming reality. Lord. Amen. What a person. Amen. Amen. Well, I believe there was one more that the brothers requested to sing. So, brothers, is it okay? Should we sing this next one, or is that okay? Yeah? Okay, I think so. In a low dungeon, hope we had none, but we were saved. Amen. Hallelujah.
In a low dungeon, hope we had none. Try to believe, but faith didn't come. Jesus appearing. We by God were transfused.
What a great word.
We by God were transfused. Propitiation made by the blood.
Jesus
redemption. Promise for God. No condemnation. Justification.
We have peace
for God. We have peace for God. According to Adam, dying we were. We had a sickness no one can put down. God is ascending,
oh, man, and mending.
He is dead, we are free. He is dead, we are free. Propitiation made by the blood. Jesus' redemption, promise for God. No condemnation, justification. We have peace for God. Rejoicing, standing in grace.
Oh, hallelujah! Sin is erased.
God in us flowing, in our hearts growing. We are saved in His life. We are saved in His life. Propitiation made by the blood. Jesus' redemption bought us for God.
No!
Justification.
We
have peace toward God. We have peace toward God.
Okay, chorus a couple times, but you have to declare no condemnation. Okay, you have to draw it out. No condemnation. You have to say it loud enough to believe it. We believe it.
Propitiation made by the blood. Jesus' redemption bought us for God.
No!
Condemnation, justification. We have peace toward God. We have peace toward God. Out of propitiation made by the blood. Jesus' redemption bought us for God.
No!
Condemnation, justification. We have peace toward God. We have peace for God.
Oh, we have to do it one more time.
Propitiation made by the blood.
Yeah.
Jesus' redemption bought us for God. Condemnation, justification. We have peace toward God. We have peace toward God.
Amen.
Amen.
We have peace toward God.
Amen.
No condemnation.
Amen.
Okay, Marvin, back to you, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. No condemnation. Amen. Saints, isn't it wonderful? We have peace toward God. That is huge. We can declare that we have peace toward God. There's no condemnation. We're justified. We can come before him and just get nearer to him and dearer to him every day. Beautiful. And so, Saints, let's just open our being. We have a beautiful word coming to us. The Lord wants to be nearer to us. He wants to be dearer. He's taking out everything out the way. We don't have to worry about sin or anything. We just come forward and enjoy of him. And so let's open our hearts. We have the Bible with us. I know we asked yesterday. Make sure to have your Bible so you can go through the word. And we're going to kick it over to our brothers here, and they're going to share a word for us. So let's just open to the Lord and what he has to say. Amen.
Amen. Well, my name is Edison Liu. I'm from Boston, and I'll be sharing a little bit with Brother Ola this afternoon on outline number 6. So if you can open to that outline. And I'll just read the title while you're flipping to it. Judicial Redemption, Forgiveness, Cleansing of Sins, Justification, Reconciliation, and Positional Sanctification. This particular outline is a start of a number of outlines on the content of God's full salvation. And I know there were a lot of messages that went before this, but now we come to the content of God's full and complete salvation, which is composed of judicial redemption, which is this outline, and organic salvation. And I'll just speak something very short to open the way for Brother Ola to speak more concerning this matter of redemption, which is a wonderful, wonderful accomplishment. And my word will be in 3 sections. I would like to tell you a story first, and then talk about the importance of judicial redemption. And then lastly, we'll finish with Luke 15, with a particular parable that brings out both of these sections. So this story I ran across is a real story of a judge in North Carolina, Judge Olivera, and he's a district judge, and he had to preside over a case of a soldier who, his name is Joe Serna. He was an ex-Green Beret, which is, the U.S. Army Special Forces. He was deployed multiple times. And then throughout his kind of career in the military, he was wounded and he has some particular experiences which caused him to be medically and honorably discharged. But then he developed a fear of, when he was alone or in dark places, it would bring him back to the battlefield. And so he was, affected by that experience. And he ran into some trouble with alcohol, and there was some probation. And one day he found himself violating the probation, and now his case is in front of this judge. Well, this judge was also a soldier. So he understood what kind of situation this, Joe was in. But he was a judge. His compassion for him did not alleviate him of what he needed to do. So what did the judge do? He sentenced him to jail. And that, it was one day because it was just a minor infraction. But for Joe, it was a big deal because now he has to be in jail by himself. And but after Joe was in jail, he was surprised because the door opened and then the judge walked in, right, with a cot. And the judge spent the night in jail with this person. Anyway, this particular story to me was remarkable because The judge couldn't have, based on his compassion, just let this man go. That would have affected his standing as a judge. You know, people could have found grounds, I suppose, to challenge his ruling on previous cases and potentially affect the future cases. So he had to righteously sentence him to jail. But that also opened the way for the judge to do something that was compassionate. Well, that's a very kind of minor thing compared to what God accomplished for us, as we heard last night. The price he paid actually is millions, maybe incomparably higher. And in fact, what the infractions that this soldier kind of committed was minor and wasn't against the judge. But as sinners, what we committed was against God himself. And so it's like the judge having the crime committed against himself, then doing things righteously and compassionately with love at the same time. But I want to also mention this story first, because without the first step of taking care of righteousness or justice according to the law, there was actually no way for him to take the second step. Judicial redemption, that word, judicial, and which is what I will focus on, is really the focus here. It's related to the law. It's related to, like, a judge. It's related to righteousness, and it is related to justice. And we had a previous session that talked about love being the source of God's salvation and righteousness being the base of God's salvation. And so I want to talk a little bit about how judicial redemption and organic salvation fit in to God's full salvation. Some people related to me helped me with these. So the first one, we have to remember, commit these to your memory. We only have one outline on this, and that is judicial redemption. That's the first section of God's salvation. If you add that to organic salvation, that's the second section of God's full salvation. When you add those together, then you have the title of this entire 2 weeks, God's full salvation. And I would like to talk about judicial redemption a little bit more and impress you of its importance related to God's full salvation. Judicial redemption really takes care of one of two major problems, right? In Roman numeral 1 on this outline, it talks about these two major problems. One of them is judicial. It's objective. It's disobedience, transgression against God. We had a problem with God's government. And then the other problem is organic or related to life. And that is a subjective problem. So we have the problem of the satanic life and the sinful nature that affects us inwardly. Well, God actually cannot address the major problem of the satanic life and the sinful nature without this first, addressing this first problem of man's disobedience and transgression. And God had to take care of his righteousness first. That's why it's the base. Without taking care of this problem, nothing else happens. Nothing else. God cannot take care of a saving man without taking care of judicially redeeming man, and then all the wonderful things that issues out from that, which is in the title, and then Brother Ola will speak about. So I'd like to for you to write down these three words. So first, circle judicial. Judicial. It's in the title, it's in Roman numeral 1, and in Roman numeral 2. You know, judicial, related to the law. Okay, related to justice and related to righteousness. And then under judicial redemption, write down these three words. The first word is foundation. Foundation. It's a foundation of everything that follows. It's just not sequentially following. It is something that is built upon the foundation of judicial redemption. And then the second one is, it's the procedure to reach the goal, which is God's organic salvation. So we'll talk a lot about organic salvation, but without the procedure, there is no goal. And then the third thing is, the organic salvation is maintained by the judicial redemption. So judicial redemption is the maintenance of God's organic salvation. And this is very important, because as we go on, we'll realize, oh, what we really need is life. But in order for us to come and get life, something needed to happen first, and it is accomplished. It is called judicial redemption. Okay, I'll just end with the verses in Luke 15. The brothers can help me put the verses up there. In Luke 15, there is a parable of the prodigal son, and we know the story that this son, you know, went away, he received his inheritance, and he squandered it all. And then he was in a position, he joined himself to another person who has some possessions. He was feeding that person's pigs, and then he was very hungry, and he just wanted to eat the pig's food. He was so hungry. So that's what caused him. It says in the verse, not shown here, but in 15, says he came to himself. He realized, what am I doing? I should just go back to my father. And, you know, my father's servants are treated better than this. They have food and they won't be hungry. So then he prepared to go back, you know, to apologize. Then he went back. The father was waiting for him, ran to meet him, kissed him. And then he, you know, the son began to apologize, and then the father, you know, cut him off. And what is the first thing that the father did? Well, he said, bring out the best robe. That is judicial redemption. That is a covering that qualified the son to be in the father's presence and to return to the father's house. Then the second thing is, and bring the fattened calf. Right, so if the father just said, here is the best robe, you know, there's the ring and the sandals, the son would say, Father, that's not really why I came back. That's, you know, I was hungry. I wanted the calf. That's organic salvation, right? We had an inward need. But the first thing was not the calf. The first thing was the robe. And so for us to receive everything in God's organic salvation, we needed the best robe to be prepared for us. That is judicial redemption. And without this, we actually were not qualified to receive God's organic salvation. So praise the Lord for his judicial redemption, because that is the procedure that qualifies us. That is the foundation, and that allows us to participate in God's organic salvation. Okay, now, Brother Ola, maybe I'll pass it to you, and you can bring us into all the wonderful things in judicial redemption. Amen.
Amen. My name is Ola Ayeni. I'm from the church in Nutley. Church in Nutley is one of the three churches in the northern New Jersey. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me here. Even I'm in my home, but I don't feel that I'm home. I'm in Christ with all the saints, enjoying the Lord with every one of you. It's a mercy that all these items, can you hear me well? Okay, yeah. It's a mercy of the Lord that we all can be here speaking about what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us is very critical, that we need to see that his attainment, his accomplishment, especially his work on the cross, means so much to every one of us. You know, I have a very close friend, and he told me that the Lord's redemption is like a fifth wheel of a car. You know, it's like you are driving in a car, and maybe the young people too, they might have been driving with their parents, and you have a flat tire. Then you will need a spare car. That is the fifth wheel. You see, but you know what? I have a minivan that I used for 20 years. I raised my children with it, and they all came to drive it. It's so interesting that I can count maybe I have flat tire a couple of times. So what I mean in with that is some people feel that, oh, we don't frequently commit sin. So redemption is like a fifth wheel that you just come to when you sin. But I'm now kind of realizing that redemptive work of Christ is like the four wheels of the car. That in everything that I want to do, before I lay my hands on anything, I say, Lord, cover me by your precious, efficacious blood. So you might feel it's a fifth wheel. It means you are kind of underestimating what the Lord did on the cross. You see, it's the four wheels of the car. That without it, the car cannot run. Because every day, we all need to come under the covering of his blood. I mean, this thought is so precious in my heart and make me have more appreciation for what the Lord has done on the cross. If we talk about forgiveness of sins without his redemption, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without a redemption, there's no justification, no reconciliation. So what the Lord did for us on the cross is really very, very critical. And then we all really need to have a deep appreciation for what he has done. You know, dear saints, young people, maybe you will need your lesson book. I want to read a portion from Under Redemption. It's on page 51. It says, what is redemption? To repossess at a cost. Then I'm going to read from the last paragraph of the page. Paragraph under a redemption. So what is redemption? Redemption is the noun form of the word redeem. The word redeem means to purchase back something which originally was yours, but which had become lost. This hymn now belongs to me. If the hymn now becomes lost, I pay the price of buying it back. I will be redeeming the hymn now. Thus, redemption means to repossess at a cost. You know, let me tell you a story behind this hymn now. You could see how beaten it is. When I first came to the church life in Dallas, my wife came before me in 1988. I came into the church life in 1989. I remember vividly that it was a blessing from some of the saints to me and my family. I used this hymnal over and over again. So much memories of the church life. If I go to any conference, that time we don't have all these iTouch, all those kind of stuff. Yeah. This hymnal is always with me. It's so precious. Oh, it's like it's like my car that I have to drive in all the time. So if I lose it, it's so precious. I want to gain it back. So whatever you want to repossess has to be something that is tangible, something that is worth being paid any cost for. You see, that is the way we are in the hand of the Lord. We are so precious in his hand. He had a purpose with man before he created man. And man became sinful and became lost. So God had to pay a precious price. I appreciate Brother Edison's word on a judicial redemption. See, man has a problem. Man became lost. We originally belonged to God. We were his possession. However, we were lost. Nevertheless, God did not give us up. He paid the price to have us back, repossessing us at a great cost. This is redemption. Even after we had become lost, he desired to regain us. However, this was not easy for God to do because our being lost involved us in sins and in many other things that were against his righteousness, holiness, and glory. Because we were lost, we had many problems with God in respect to his righteousness, holiness, and glory. We were under a threefold demand, the demand of righteousness, holiness, and glory. Many requirements were laid upon us, and it was impossible for us to fulfill them. The price was too great. God paid the price for us, repossessing us at a tremendous cost. Christ died on the cross to accomplish eternal redemption for us. His blood has obtained eternal redemption for us. There are a few verses on that page as it refers to Galatians 3:13. That verse is just helping us to see that Christ redeemed us out of the curse of the law. He became a curse on our behalf. 1 Peter 2:24, he said, he himself bore up our sins on the cross in his body. Then 1 Peter 3:18, he suffered once for sins, the righteous on behalf of the unrighteous. Then 2 Corinthians 5:21, him who did not know sin was made sin on our behalf. Oh, what a mercy and what a precious thing that the Lord accomplished for us on the cross. We are lost because of sin. We are not righteous according to God's righteousness. We are not holy as God is holy. Our destiny was holiness, but we fell from it and they received a sinful nature. As a result, we are not expressing God, but expressing Satan. So we have come very short of God's glory. What a dreadful condition. Because of sin, transgression, and lawlessness, we became lost. We were under the demand of the law. And according to this law, we were cursed to die. Oh, but praise the Lord. Jesus Christ came to redeem us. By his righteous death, he redeemed us back to God and to his purpose. To accomplish this, his precious blood was the price. Because we could not pay such a price, high price, he paid it for us. We were destined to die in sin, but now we may come back to God, be forgiven by God, receive God's life, be filled with him, and express him. What a wonderful redemption. You see, if you turn to Romans 2 in the outline, said the judicial aspect of God's complete salvation is the eternal redemption accomplished by Christ to solve man's objective problem. He said complete salvation is the eternal. I want you all to pay attention to that word eternal. You see, what the Lord accomplished for us is not temporary. In the Old Testament, you see, if you commit sin, you have to go to the market and buy a lamb without blemish, without any kind of stain. Everything has to be pure. You see, that was a type of Christ. Christ is the reality of that lamb in the Old Testament. And what the Old Testament sacrifices do is that they cover sins. They don't take away sins. You see, it's like you have dirt in the room. You swept the dirt and you put them under the carpet. You see that they just cover the dirt because the dirt are still in the room. But when the Lord came, you see, he accomplished redemption for us. You see, what he did on the cross is redemption. But when it is applied to us when we believe, then we are forgiven of our sins. Wow, how much we need to see the importance and have a fresh appreciation for what he did on the cross. Whatever he did on the cross might look objective because it's outside of us. But when it's applied by our believing into him, something of him can be worked into us. Everything that he had accomplished can be the reality of our Christian living. You see, under that Roman 2, it says the judicial aspect of God's complete salvation is the eternal redemption accomplished by Christ to solve man's objective problem before God. This aspect includes forgiveness of sins, cleansing of sins, justification, reconciliation, positional sanctification. Without forgiveness of sin, without shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So even for us to be forgiven is based on what the Lord has done on the cross. Based on the outline, we have Ephesians 1 verse 7 and Matthew 26 verse 28. Brothers, can you please and bring up that slide? I think it's going to be, amen. Well, Ephesians 1 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses according to the riches of his grace. Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood. Thank you, Lord, for your precious efficacious blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Please, can you give me the next slide, brother? The meaning of forgiveness of sin, to remove the sinful case before God. That's Hebrews 9:22. There is such a big emphasis on without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. To remove a sinful case, we need the blood. Only our Lord Jesus Christ is qualified to die on our behalf. He came in the likeness of the flesh of sin. You see, with what he did on the cross is eternal. He is not limited by time or space. You see, the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 18 says, the Lord Jesus died from the foundation of the world. Even you can't imagine that even before I was born, my sins had been taken care of on the cross. So in time, all I need to do is just believe into what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up as an Anglican because I was raised up in Nigeria and my parents were Anglican. You see, I know some brothers were very clear about the day that they were saved. Like Brother Ricky was saying last night that he was saved when he was 7. You know, I was totally confused because before I even knew anything, they told me I was baptized when I was 8 days old. I know I grew up with Christian parents. I go to church. And I know all I know about the blood of Jesus is that Jesus died so that I can escape eternal perdition, which is okay. But you know, if I go to church, you know why I go to church? I go to church if I have some problems, for I need a job. That's all I go for. You see, I use it just for my own benefit. I don't even realize that the Lord has a need. How could he just shed his blood just for me to be asking for this kind of blessing in the kind of materialistic realm. But believe me, what the Lord did on the cross is much more than that. Right. I was so confused. Even I can't even remember that in a very clear way that somebody asked me that to repent and believe. Not until when I came to the church life. Then I have a conscious appreciation for the Lord's redemptive work on the cross. Then one of the other benefits of a forgiveness of sins is to deliver us from God's judgment. He who believes into the Son has eternal life. But he who disobeys the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides upon him. To free us from God's condemnation, it's also to free us from God's condemnation, Romans 8, verse 1, and John 3:18a. Said, there is now, then, no condemnation. I love that song when we were singing it. I love it so much. And the emphasis that the brothers told us to pay emphasis, to put emphasis on those two words. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That verse, then the John 3:18a says, he who believes into him is not condemned. But he who does not believe has been condemned. So forgiveness of sins, the way to receive it. For the unbelievers, they need to repent and believe. And for us believers, we need to confess. You know, last night I was terribly a little bit under the weather. So I was very tired. So I went to bed early. So I was sleeping in the room my wife knew it. Then she got a phone call, and all of a sudden she was talking on the phone call, and I woke up. I was so annoyed. Then I overreacted. After I overreacted, I was kind of like in a low dungeon. I was so deep in under gloom. I became hopeless. You know what? I turned to the Lord. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. I said, I should have called on the Lord's name before I spoke to her. Then I couldn't sleep. I lost my sleep. Then I went to her. Before the Lord, I confessed. Then I went to my dear wife. I told her, I'm so sorry that I know you disturbed me. Not that I want to tell you what you did wrong, but I know I really overreacted because my mouth was just running. Like it's very reckless. So I went to her. I apologized. I confessed before the Lord. Joy and peace came in. I became happy. I became joyful. You see, whatever the Lord did for us on the cross, we cannot underestimate it. Yeah, we need to appreciate it over and over again. You see, for the unbelievers, even right now, I'm so grateful to the Lord that the Lord has brought the summer school of truth to all homes. I remember when we used to be in Franklin, we enjoyed it so much with the New York City, the Jamaica Meeting Hall, and having the hospitality with the saints. Those days are glorious. Then we moved to the campsite in Kingston. You see, I really treasure that too. Even I miss the opportunity of being physically in person with the saints. But I so much treasure this time that the Lord has brought this kind of speaking to every home where even grandparents, some grandparents are there, or people of all ages that have not even known the Lord, that they can hear this under their roof. Is it not a blessing? Oh, what a mercy that even the COVID situation is not something glorious, but the Lord can bring something that is priceless out of it. Oh, may the Lord continue to permeate all the homes with this kind of arrangement so that he can hasten his return and extend his salvation to many more people. So I need to move a little fast now because it looks like my time is running out. Yeah. So I'm under cleansing of sins. I said the meaning is to wash away the sin of our behavior caused by committing of sin. The way for us to receive it is also by confession, right? And brothers, can you bring up the slide on the cleansing of sins? That should be slide number 8. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, Psalm 51, verse 2, that verse really touched me so much. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and from my sin. Lord, cleanse me. So the meaning to wash away the stain of our behavior caused by committing of sin. The way for us to receive it is also by a confession. I need just to read a little portion here from the lesson book. It says, sins refer to offenses and unrighteousness. And unrighteousness is the mark, the stain on our behavior caused by the committing of an offense. Whenever we sin, we commit an offense. This offense becomes a stain on our behavior, and this stain is unrighteousness. For instance, suppose you buy two items, but you are charged only for one. If you pay just for one item, that will be an act of sinning against the store. With respect to the person who sold you the items, that is an offense. But with respect to your character, that is a mark of unrighteousness. For this, we need to confess so that we can be cleansed. Then justification. Brother, can you bring the verses on the justification? Okay, right. Romans 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation place through faith in his blood, for the demonstrating of his righteousness, in that in his forbearance, God passed over the sins that had previously occurred, with a view to the demonstrating of his righteousness in the present time, so that he might be righteous and the one who justifies him who is of the faith of Jesus. Sorry, I lost the screen a little bit. That was why my reading was a little bit broken. So justification, we can see for sure that it is based on Christ's redemption and through faith. Then the other verses I want to read on a slide number 11. Slide 11. It says, who shall bring, that is Romans 8:33. It said, who shall bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ Jesus, who died, and rather who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. This is the gift of God. Amen. Then the next item is reconciliation, meaning the action of bringing two parties back into oneness. Due to man's fall, man became God's enemy. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified out of faith, we have peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:10, if we been enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more we will be saved in his life, having been reconciled. 5:10, and not only so, but also boasting in God, through whom our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Through Christ's death, man has been reconciled with God. Now we have harmony with God. Oh, the results of reconciliation, enjoying God. I love this aspect of enjoying God. If all the distance is taken away, all our problems are taken, are solved, we believe into him, we are forgiven, we are cleansed, we are justified, we are reconciled to God, we have harmony, joy, and peace with God. We can enjoy, we can rejoice. Oh, what a mercy. We really need to have a deep appreciation for what the Lord has done for us on the cross. Without his redemptive work on the cross, all these objective items, I believe it's not just for knowledge, but I also pray that there will be something experiential to us, that we will believe and that it will be applied to all our circumstances. Then experiencing God's organic salvation and receiving the ministry of reconciliation. Then the last item on the outline is a positional sanctification. 1 Corinthians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2 says, to the church of God, which is in Christ Jesus, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, who is theirs and ours. Therefore, also, that he must sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Then the meaning is a change in position. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. A change in position, the Lord transferred us out of the authority of darkness. He did not leave us in limbo in between and just miserable. He transferred us out of darkness. Then he delivered us out of darkness, authority of darkness. Then he also transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Oh, we need to appreciate what this one has done for us. We were in the satanic kingdom. Some people don't really realize it. They feel that, I'm righteous, I don't commit sin, I pay my taxes, I do everything right, I don't disobey the law, I'm a good citizen. But we were born in Adam. So we are unrighteous because we were born in Adam. The Lord needs to die for us to make us righteous with God. For this, we need the redemptive work that he has done on the cross to be applied to us. So when we believe into him, his redemption is applied to us, and we are forgiven. We are cleansed from our sins. Now God considers us as righteous as he is. Hallelujah. Satan still has a problem with God, but we don't. Now we can freely come to God to receive him as our life. Praise the Lord. God is happy. His angels are happy. His church is happy. Hallelujah. But that's the end of my body.
Wow, praise the Lord. Saints, what a word. God considers us as righteous as he is. God is happy, the angels are happy, and the church is happy. And all of this is based on the foundation of God's judicial redemption that dealt with all our objective problems, right? We offended him. He came in. He did everything on that side to deal with us, clothed us in this robe that's righteousness, and then through organic salvation is restoring us to the proper condition. And I just appreciated our brother tying these two together. You know, redemption is something God completed on his side. And we saw, and I appreciate this verse, Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. This is something that applied to us or was available to us for a very long time. But when we opened our mouths and confessed and received the Lord, it was applied to us as forgiveness for all those sins. And so what the Lord did on the cross, we saw yesterday and saw today, is available for every man. And once man opens his heart to receive Christ, he is forgiven for all of those offenses and now gets all these wonderful experiences and issues of judicial redemption. And so our brother began by speaking to us concerning this view that judicial redemption is the foundation, the procedure, the maintenance for organic salvation, right? And we can't just look at redemption as something objective and something that just allows us to maybe get what we want from God, but it actually meets God's need by restoring us to the place where we can be justified, we can be cleansed from our sins, reconciled to him, to enjoy him, and even positionally we're sanctified. We've been transferred from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Hallelujah. Saints, what a word, right? We are as righteous as God is. We could declare that. That's just amazing. I'm so happy we have this time. And now we can go to our small group and speak concerning this and speak these words, even declare boldly, we are as righteous as God is, which is huge. It's a major revelation. And so I know the brothers have some announcements. We'll kick it over to them before they dismiss us.
Marvin, my brother, how wonderful redemption is.
Amen.
Yeah, we've been forgiven. Wonderful. A few quick announcements. Song selection. So thank you for all the young people for taking turns and selecting the songs. You'll get a turn and grade 8. We just want to let the 8th graders know you're next and we'll come to you on Monday night. Okay. Regarding the schedule, tonight, this is a very special gathering. Okay. Tonight, we want to hear from the young people. It will be an overflow meeting. And so we want you, maybe even during dinner time, consider, you could even write it down, compose something. Anything from this past week, whatever you enjoyed, we'd like to hear from you tonight. And we'll give you some more direction after we all come together. Tomorrow, this is very important for all the serving ones. We will have a fellowship tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., 9 to 10 a.m. And so we hope that all the serving ones who've been serving this week, maybe the serving ones that are coming along next week, please come and join us tomorrow morning at 9. For all the ones who sign up for the professions panel, this will be tomorrow at 1 p.m., okay, Saturday at 1 p.m. Now, again, for dismissal, same directions as the previous meetings. We'll send out all the serving ones so you all could go now. Amen. Okay, now how about all the high school juniors and seniors? You all could go. And maybe for the rest of us, let's declare, I've been cleansed by the blood. Amen. Okay, now the 9th and 10th graders. Okay, junior highers, declare, I've been reconciled back to God. Okay, now the junior hires, you guys could go. And we'll see everybody back tonight for the meeting. Group time is till 5:45. Oh, serving ones, we'll have fellowship also during dinner time, but they left already, so. Okay, we're